Good morning, beloved. Let us receive these words from the Holy Scriptures, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning with verse 15. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, then take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, then tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen to even the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let all God's people say, thanks be to God. Amen? Amen. I am the Reverend Dr. Dale Hatch. I'm an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church, retired. I serve sort of in a spousal role with my wife, who is a United Methodist pastor, and she is appointed at Scott Trinity and Rising Sun and Union United Methodist Churches, with Union being in Fostoria. So with that in mind, I want to thank Pastor Max for the opportunity to come and share the gospel message of Jesus Christ with you this morning. In my ministry, I can honestly say that when you ask people about a favorite scripture, no one has ever identified this as one of their favorites. Now, imagine that. Why do you suppose that is? Well, just taking a wild guess, I'm going to bet that it has to do with our not wanting to do what Jesus is asking us to do here. This gospel is one that we hear, but it's not one that we do because we don't practice it. However, I trust that perhaps after we have a better understanding of what Jesus is asking us to do, that we might be more inclined to give it a shot. The intent of this passage of Scripture is not negative. Its intent is not to punish. Its intent is to restore. The intent is to reclaim offenders within the community. I'm placing this teaching within the context of chapter 18 and more broadly the whole Gospel of Matthew. It focuses on discipleship and humility. Humility as demonstrated when Jesus taught about where children should fall in the social order, even though it was different from the conventional thinking of the time. teaches about humility with deep concern of the shepherd for the one who has been lost from the community. But even more, the joy that is experienced when the one who was lost is found. And then following this passage of Scripture, Jesus talks about the unbounded forgiveness in the parable of the unforgiving debtor. Many theologians consider this passage of Scripture to be the rule of Christ. And the rule says that we are to seek to rescue and to forgive, doing it in a spirit of humility, with an eye to care for the offender. And we should note that this involves more than just the two parties involved. It's to include the whole community, the whole church. Membership in this community, or calling ourselves Christian disciples, means binding ourselves to one another with Jesus Christ as our head. It means risking relationships with other people. And sometimes, even with people you don't like so much. Jesus' ministry, and therefore ours, because he has given it to us, is one to include people, not exclude them. We are the body of Christ, and we are each incomplete without the other person. The suffering of one is the suffering of all. The joy of one is the joy of all. The honor of one leads to our rejoicing, or at least it should. Conflict within the community, when it's left unresolved, always leads to negative consequences. Look at it in your own personal relationships as well. You ever had a good mad going because somebody's upset you about something? What happens when you don't take care of it? Not good things, right? It is in overcoming our differences that should set us apart from the rest of the world. No one needs, nor do they want, to be judged and condemned. You know, they can stay outside of these walls and have that happen. This is to be a healing community. One where people can find something that they cannot find outside of here. Should be a place where we can experience healing of our bodies, of our minds, of our spirits, and certainly our relationships. Our relationships with God and our relationships with one another. You know, when we look at the cross, we see a lot of images, brings to mind a lot of things, certainly our salvation, I would hope, reminds us of the resurrection. Well, let's take note this morning that there are two planes to the cross, one that is vertical, one that is horizontal. What happens if we cover this part of the cross up? Not a cross anymore, is it? It's incomplete. Now, we are to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the vertical axis of the cross. But we are to have forgiving relationships with one another in the body of Christ. And without that, we are incomplete. We are less than whole. So let's ask ourselves this morning, how do we as the church get to that place of completeness and wholeness? How do we get there? How do we both hear the message and then do the message? Well, unless we're deaf, the hearing part shouldn't be so bad, right? Somebody gets up, they read the scripture, we hear it. But once we hear the message, we need to take it to heart. We need to synthesize it. We need to get our brains around what it's asking us to do. We need to take some ownership of it. We need to make it ours. We need to own it. And the only way to do that, that I'm aware of at this point in my life, is to practice it. Let's ask ourselves, can a farmer be a farmer without farming? Doesn't seem very reasonable to me. Not to pick on y'all. But can accomplished musicians become accomplished without practice? Can an engineer be an engineer without designing something? What about a carpenter? Can a carpenter be called a carpenter without building something? What about a teacher? A nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, whatever. You know what? I should probably include in this list a preacher, right? Shouldn't let preachers off the hook. If we do not do what we have been called to be and do in this life, then we're just pretenders. We're fakes, we're frauds. Just pretending to be Christians. Let's note here in this passage that Jesus isn't talking about simple differences of opinion. Okay? What he's talking about are behaviors that are self-serving and that break the unity within the fellowship of the body of Christ. When church members injure one another, it isn't only the individuals that are involved. The whole church is affected. Each step in the process that Jesus identifies is to be undertaken with the goal and certainly with the hope of reconciliation, of restoration to wholeness, to fix the broken relationship. You know, sweeping things under the rug, pretending that there isn't anything wrong, going around smiling like, but, you know, silently fuming on the inside, isn't a healthy approach. Jesus doesn't say it's okay to yell at one another. Doesn't say it's okay to gossip about them or to humiliate them, either publicly or privately. Doesn't say it's okay to take them to court. The goal is to heal, to restore, to reconcile. But unfortunately, and some of you are probably aware of this, all too often people leave the church because they're angry about something. They go to another church. Some of them just drop out altogether and remain wounded. You know, I learned a long time ago that you can try to run away from conflict. But the problem with that is, you take yourself with you. You take yourself with you. You can't run away from yourself. And so if you've been injured, you take that with you. If you've been scarred, you take that with you. And the only way to fix it is to allow it to be healed by the love of Jesus Christ. I was noticing on your board in the social hall out here, I'm assuming it's central to your mission in the church, from the Gospel of John, the new commandment that Jesus gives us was what? You're to love one another as Jesus Christ has loved you. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive. Unfortunately, when this reconciliation, this restoration, this healing doesn't take place, then we as the body of Christ confine the grace that we are here to extend to the world. You can't give something to somebody that you don't possess, can you? If you don't have something, you can't give it to somebody else. So then what should we do as the church when new life or this healing proves impossible? Because an offending person still insists upon his or her own way. Well, Jesus has an answer for that too. Has an answer for most things, don't he? This is what he says. Treat them as though they were Gentiles and tax collectors. Don't sigh a sigh of relief saying, oh, good, I can wash my hands of this baby. I can ignore them. I can do whatever. That's very inaccurate. Because let's look at how Jesus treats Gentiles and tax collectors in the Scripture. He continued to love them, didn't he? He continued to extend grace to them. As a matter of fact, he made this one dude called Matthew a disciple. And Matthew was a tax collector. Peter, God love Peter. I love Peter. He's one of my favorite characters in the Scripture. He often spoke for the whole group. And one day, he asked Jesus this question. How many times do I have to forgive somebody who has injured me? My whole paraphrase of that thing is, as long as it takes, as many times as it takes. Jesus said 77 times or 7 times 70 or 70 times 7 times. Now, let's not take this literally. You know, you can do the math. 70 times 7 is 490, right? Yeah, right. Is that right? 49. 490, right? Okay, cool. Now, that doesn't mean, then, that you go get this notebook and you start hashtag recording. I've forgiven this many times. And when you get to 790, think, it's over with. I don't have to do this stuff anymore. No, 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 no. You see, in the Hebrew, 7 means, it's a holy number, it means wholeness, completeness. So you do it, Jesus is really saying, until restoration, healing has taken place. You know, the world tends to write people off when things reach a certain point. However, Jesus teaches us that life in the church is to be different. We're to be different here. We're to be better here than there. Jesus teaches that life in the church is central to God's mission in the world. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we're to work toward that goal. So if we who profess to be Christians, if we who are the church do not work and do the work in this area, then who's gonna? Who will? Jesus calls us to the high task of reconciliation. And this ministry must be central to the ministry and mission of the church. Our primary language in the church is about confession, restoration, and reconciliation. We have to be better and we have to do better than the world. This means casting off the yoke of individualism and self-serving behaviors. We're being asked to move into a profound and trusting relationship with one another. We are to engage each other, not pull away. And in order for that to happen, we all have to commit to this process. You have to be willing to do it. The only way to do it is to practice it. You got to try. You got to start somewhere. What about in your personal relationships? Do you practice forgiveness there? I struggled with this in my own marriage early on because I knew I was right. She wasn't. Okay, enough of that. This whole passage, let me reiterate. Its focus should be on reconciliation, not punishment. The goal is to win over our brother and or our sister, not to excommunicate them. When we, the church, care for the offended and the offender, we are really acting within the Spirit's power and certainly under God's authority to do that. Jesus said, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. And he sent his Spirit to be present in the church, to be present within us, so that we can accomplish this task. Hearing this gospel and doing the Christian life includes living into this difficult discipline of discipleship. There is a grave difference, beloved, between being a follower of Christ and being a disciple of Christ. Vast difference. Puppy dogs follow. Christians become disciples. Sometimes it's hard work. Too bad. Get over it. Get on with it. Because we'll all be better off in the long run. All of this, friends, is made possible and can be made possible through the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of his precious, precious Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. In the name of our risen Christ, may it be so. May it be so. One of the great privileges we as ordained members of the church have is to be able to celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion with you. This particular Sunday is the observance of Worldwide Communion. And so we have, across the world, this vast array of different people who will be coming to the table this morning to receive grace, sometimes, in some cases, for the first time. In other cases, they'll be coming to receive more grace, whatever the reason. Let people come. And now, blessed Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ, that we may truly be the body of Christ for the world. Make us one with each other, one in union and fellowship and unity, so that we have something to offer to a hurting and broken world. Amen. On the night in which Jesus gave himself for us, he took bread and he said to those who had gathered round the table with him, "This is my body. It's given for you. Take and eat, and each time you do, remember how much I love you." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks, and in giving thanks, he blessed it. And again, he said to those who were around the table with him, "This is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, and each time you do, remember how much I love you." And now, beloved, I send you forth to practice forgiving one another. Go in service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let all God's people say, Amen.